there's some kind of a big question, which is a wrap-up question, and you'll probably have different ways of looking at that. But basically, to take the step back and look at the World Heritage Convention and what you think are its successes and its failures, what are its strengths and how it's really done good things, and then where it is weak.
Yes, I have no doubt that statistically, in terms of state parties that have subscribed to it, 187 now, out of a possible 193, that is more than, it's nearly 100%. So in terms of ratification, it has been a major success. In terms of implementation, it's, again, the statistics speak for themselves. The fact that you have regions that are overrepresented, I don't want to say overrepresented, but this thing is a historical dimension. It's got a historical dimension. There was a time when we were totally unaware of the existence of this country, so we're trying to catch up. But notwithstanding, this imbalance in terms of representation on the world digital list is a bone of contention, which again I'll refer you to the auditor's report, external auditor's report. It's something that has to be addressed. Now, again, I like to refer to this report as well. It notes that one of the centerpieces of the World Heritage Convention was the introduction of the World Heritage Fund, which was an instrument or a mechanism to ensure that some of the problems that we're facing were addressed. But in terms, I think it's of Article 16.2 or so, where it says states are free to, at the time of their deposition or ratification, to say they will not be bound by the clauses of the World Heritage Fund, you know, relating to that. That is really the Achilles heel, as far as I'm concerned, in our relationship, particularly developing countries, in our relationship to the convention. Many developed countries have entered those regions. Canada is not one of them, I must say.
Many developed countries,
Have entered reservations. Now, the result is that a central mechanism in the implementation of the convention, particularly in developing countries, has been taken away. Now, it is now observed, you see, by that external audit, that actually currently only 18% of the World Heritage Center resources is coming from the World Heritage Fund. And all these others are coming from extra budgetary resources, for which the committee, by and large, has no control, and that undermines the power of the committee, one. Two, it has brought about distortions in the fact that these funds coming from the developing countries have strings attached. You can only use them in their petty projects or in an area that they would like to be channeled, not necessarily according to the priorities of the committee. These extra budget resources are being used to take to bring staff from these countries to the detriment of, in other words, the staffing situation is now so lopsided in favor of those who are contributing from extra budgetary resources that you cannot have a fair geographical balance in the center, which is supposed to be administering the convention. A major strength, however, of what I would fairly say is the fact that at least efforts are underway to support through the Africa World Heritage Fund, for example, the inscription processes and conservation processes, and I think that's a way that to helps to alleviate the situation arising from the dwindling World Heritage Fund's resource base. And maybe that's a plus, in the sense that at least the General Assembly of State Parties in UNESCO totally endorsed this this as a way forward. And so when there are ideas of having it in the Pacific as well and all that kind of thing. But you see, the bottom line is we are moving away from the fund. We are saying the fund...
Away from the World Heritage Fund.
Yeah,
we're going
away
to
from
sub-funds.
That, like I say, to sub-funds. And this was never the... It was never envisaged in... It's not in the convention at all.
No.
You see. So that's what I would sum it up is.
Was the Africa 2009 program of ICROM, led by ICROM, was that good for Africa?
It was. I must say... it was I invariably, most institutions have had people trained there. Those that have been trained, I believe it was quite particularly when it moved from Rome to come to Africa, to Mombasa. I think that's where it then began to have an impact. I think it's a program that has played its role. Regrettably, you see, training is an ongoing thing. You see, it should not have ever been envisaged that it's a cut and shut kind of scenario. Because, okay, with this folding up, so what? You see, there should have been contingency measures to take over from there.
So, just to wrap up, any final words on the convention?
Yes, the final word is, please make it work. we should not pay lip service to this convention. The convention itself is quite clear and good. It's got its own faults, like I was saying, Article 16 negates this and so forth. But overall, and I must say, even the major weaknesses that it had, Articles 1 and 2 in defining natural heritage, those have been made, have been improved markedly by the operational guidelines. So I think this mechanism of operational guidelines has really addressed major flaws of the convention. But it is up to state parties to make it work. It is up to state parties to really rededicate themselves to understanding this convention, mm-hmm. and the implementing guidelines, and to be committed to it, because it's a global convention. If we put the global international community and work as a family for which it was envisaged, that what happens to country so and so affects everyone, let's collectively come together, and that way we will have the necessary critical mass. If we go back to that spirit, then it will work. But if we go back to what is increasingly happening, that the state party is so concerned about itself, doesn't care what is happening elsewhere, and they want to push their case to the detriment of the international community, then that's where we have a problem. The third point is that it needs to be at state level. It needs to permeate the local communities.